5, aren't you thankful that there's a change when Jesus comes? I'm thankful there's a change in our lives. We're made a new creature, the Bible says, and we're excited about what God can do if we allow Him to. And that's what tonight's message is all about, is what God can do with our lives. It's great to have Miss Kathy's sister visiting with her tonight. And so usually Miss Kathy is the one that goes and visits her, so it's nice to have her sister visiting with her tonight and thank her for being here tonight. Okay, title of tonight's message is Walking in Love. Walking in love. In Galatians chapter number 5, I know last week we had the ambassador group that was here. The week before that, Brother Mark preached for us while I was at the pastor's college. So this week we're getting back to Galatians chapter number 5. And what we're going to look at tonight is the fruit of the Spirit and what it produces. And as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to look at different character traits inside the fruit of the Spirit week by week for a little while. And hopefully we can understand how we are able to walk in the Spirit and we can walk in love. I don't know about you, sometimes I read the Bible and I look at it and I say, there is no way in the world that I can do the things that God's asking me to do. When it talks about us being forgiving, talks about us loving our enemies, praying for those that despitefully use us. And you read those things, you're like, how in the world can I really do this? And this is what this whole passage is about. It talks about how if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to rule and reign in our lives, that we can act like Christ and we can walk in the Spirit. We can actually produce the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian tonight, if you've called upon God and you recognize yourself as a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior, you repent of your sins and cry out to God and ask God to save you, and ask Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. So guess what? You have the fruit of the Spirit inside of you already. It's there already. It just needs to be brought out in your life. And how do you bring it out? It's by abiding in Christ. It's by walking in the Spirit. So we're going to look here in Galatians chapter number 5. And as we look at this, I pray that you ask the Lord to help you. You know, when we think about all the wonderful fruits of the Spirit, we're going to look at different ways how the Bible talks about walking in love, walking in joy, walking in peace. And we can live lives like this. Sometimes people think this is out of our grasp. But if you're a Christian, you can live like this. Let's go ahead and look here. Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to start a little bit higher up, and we're going to start in verse number 13. Give us a little reminder of what's going on here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And we learned a lot about that liberty. It's not a liberty to, we can sin whatever way we want, but now we have a liberty to choose to live for God like we never had before as an unsaved person. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. He says, do not use the choices you have to be like the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, we don't know our neighbors around here that well. We do know the people's names. We don't interact with them very much. But me and my wife, you used to live in a townhouse. At least that's what you call them up north. The roadhouses, you know, it's the houses that are there, and they're right on top of the walls. My one wall is connected to the other wall, so it's a house. And I tell you, when I read this verse in the Bible, it says there's no way I can love my neighbors like myself. There's one person that lived next door to us. It was low-income housing, and you know, it was supposed to be intended for this one lady and her three little girls. There had to be at least 25 people that lived in that house. It was supposed to be only for four, but they had their brothers and their sisters and their cousins, and they all lived there. And it was a nice-sized house, but they used to play their music loud. For some reason, when they got out of their cars and they would park there, they'd come to visit somebody, they wouldn't turn their car off like normal people would. They would turn their car on, and they turned the radio up nice and loud. I guess they were afraid someone was going to steal their car, so they know if the music had left that somebody must have stole their car. I don't know any other reason. Maybe they wanted to hear the music in the house. I have no idea why they would leave their music super loud. And then you come to the spot and it says, love your neighbor as thyself. I'm like, how in the world am I supposed to love my neighbor as myself? And you might have some people in your lives that is tough to love, because the Bible's talking about neighbors. And we even learned about what it meant by neighbors when Jesus talked about is whoever you come in contact with, the people you interact with. And but how are you going to love somebody who is unlovable? And that's hard to do. But we're going to see a little bit how we can do this. And it says in verse number 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. He says, look, when you're arguing and when you're fighting amongst yourself, you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. Don't fool yourself. Sometimes we come into church with this great and high and mighty look. I am walking in the Spirit. I have the fruits of the Spirit. permeated my life, and we can't even talk to the people in church in a kind way. We like to argue and fight. That's not walking in the Spirit. In verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." See, the Spirit produces something, and the flesh produces something. And if we really want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we're not going to be able to walk according to the flesh. There's the key. There's the answer to how it works. Keep on going. Verse number 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Remember, we've talked about this warring that they have, the differences that they have. They're competing. They're fighting against one another. They do not do the same thing at the same time. "And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And this is the principle that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. You cannot do the things that you would if you're doing them according to the flesh. If you're living in the flesh, you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. If you're living in the Spirit, you're not going to be able to produce the fruit of the flesh. Let's keep on going. Verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And here it's saying we need to be led by the Spirit of God. We talked about God leading us on Sunday night, and it was on purpose to introduce some of the things we've been talking about. Verse number 19, they come to, you see what the flesh produces. It's not a very nice list. To be honest with you, one of the greatest reasons why we should not want to sin, it's not the greatest reason. The greatest reason should be a love that we have for God. And because we love the Lord, it constrains us and causes us to do certain things and not do certain things. But if we don't want to feed the flesh, it's because we don't want to be like this. When I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, sometimes when I am brought to the decision, am I going to do this certain sin? And then I think, you know what, if I start looking at something I'm not supposed to look to, there's a chance that sin's going to take me to a place I never wanted to go. If I started listening to something I did not want, that I should not be listening to, that sin is going to manifest itself someday in my life, and it's going to produce something in my life that I don't want. When I start letting bitterness come inside my heart and inside my mind, someday that is going to manifest itself in some way of a hatred or some way of an unforgiving spirit. If I let the flesh in, sooner or later, it's going to manifest itself. And here you look what it says about what it manifests. It says in verse number 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Which are these? Adultery. You know, where did it begin? It began with something that we allowed into our flesh. Maybe it was looking at something that was pornographic, or looking at something we shouldn't have. Maybe it was some what we would consider innocent flirting, or maybe it was some type of, guess, whatever it might cause, adultery or fornication or uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings. Now, you read all those things, and this is what we do not want to be. But if we live according to our flesh, this is where our flesh ends up. The flesh produces death, what it says in the book of Romans. And if we don't want to be a hateful person, we have to make sure we're not living according to the flesh. If we want to do what's right, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. It says, "Of the which truth I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But you come to this next word in verse 22, and I love this word, "but." And it's a whole change. He says, if you live according to the flesh, these things will all be manifested, but the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the contrary. This is what can be different. You don't have to live like this, but you can have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Say, "Pastor, I'm kind of in between. You know, I don't do all those things, but I don't really have the fruit of the Spirit." No. Your flesh or your spirit is winning out in your life. They're contrary to one another. They're fighting one another. Don't be fooling yourself. If you're not abiding in the Spirit and producing the fruits of the Spirit, you're living in the flesh. And sooner or later in your life, this will become manifest, whether you want to believe it or not. Now, it might not always come open out in where everybody sees it, but it will become manifest in your heart and in your mind, to where sometime, sooner or later, you're going to explode and you're going to see it manifested. Sometimes you see people do such heinous crimes, or you don't see how people just falling off the wagon and say, "How in the world could that ever happen?" It's because they're living according to the flesh. And sooner or later, that flesh, its ugly head, it's going to rear up. Okay, so we come to the spot. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, I like that last phrase, against such there is no law. That means it's not against the law to do it. And remember, it's referring to the law here, talking about the Old Testament. It does not, but in this idea, I still like it. So many people think if you're going to live a life like this, that's impossible to do. But what the Bible's saying here is that if you live according to the Spirit, this is how you should be living. So what we're going to do in the next few weeks is look at the different individual characteristics or the different fruit that is produced and see if we're really walking in the Spirit. See if we're really producing the fruit of the Spirit according to what the Bible says, not according to what we think. Because what we think is, yes, I love the world, I give to missions, I love my family, I do this for them, I love my neighbor, I do this. But what does the Bible say? What is biblical love, and how are we supposed to demonstrate it one another? And then how do we get to that point? Let's look here at this verses one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So tonight, are you producing the fruit, or are you allowing the Holy Ghost produce the fruits of love? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, thankful to be here tonight. Lord, when we look at these verses, we see words here that maybe some of them kind of describe us, but Lord, we're failing pretty miserably when it comes to some other ones. Lord, help us to see where the connection begins and where the connection ends, and that's with you. That's not what we can work up in our own strength and our own power, but Lord, it's what you can produce in us. Lord, teach us that principle and help us willing to want to abide with you and in you. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 points tonight. First thing is the dependence on the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God. The dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is contrasted with the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are done by a person's own efforts. So when you try to do them on your own, whether he's saved or unsaved. However, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in God's own Spirit and only in the people who belong to him through faith in Jesus Christ. See, the only way you can really produce these fruits of the Spirit is by living for him. The Bible says in Romans 7:18, for I know, and this is Paul writing, for I know that in me, and Paul is saying, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There is no way that in my flesh and with my flesh I can produce these fruits of the Spirit. It says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He's saying, look, I want to do it. The will is there. Our flesh will allow us to have an interest in doing these things, but we can never do it through the flesh. We can never love the way that God wants us to love and do the things God desires us to do according to our flesh. And that's what Paul is saying. Look, I know what's in me, and that's in me. That's in my flesh. There is no good thing. I cannot do this on my own. Jesus taught us this. He says, I am the true vine. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And he keeps on, I am the vine. In verse number 5 says, in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So what the Bible is saying there is, look, if you can learn to have a close, intimate relationship where you're abiding in Christ, Christ is abiding in you, guess what? Then you can produce the fruit that's in the Spirit. But it says, without me you can do nothing. You cannot produce this fruit in the Spirit without the Spirit of God. You just can't do it. It's impossible. You have a dependence upon God. You're not going to produce the fruit of the Spirit by yourself. You need God's help. You must be connected. I know some of you have fruit trees. I know that some of you understand how, when most of us would understand how, where does the fruit tree produce the fruit? It's usually on the branches. But a branch can't break off by itself and go somewhere else and says, hey, look, I'm going to produce my own fruit. I'm going to separate from the trunk. And I'm going to go produce my own fruit. It's impossible to do. It needs what the trunk has to offer it. When a branch breaks away or is broken off, what happens to it? It withers up and it dies. And that's what the Bible is saying here. It's sort of like when you're trying to produce the fruit in the Spirit in your own work, in your own flesh, you're going to wither up and die when it comes to that fruit. The only way you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit is by abiding and by staying connected with God. You need to implant yourself into God and implant yourself into God's Word and have that relationship where you're close. I remember a number of years ago, we talked about staying connected to the power source. I don't know, I'm sure some of you were here. We brought out a light. Simple illustration, brought out a light and plugged the light in. And guess what? When you plug the light in, there was power. The light bulb came on. But when you unplugged the light, guess what happened? The power went off. The light bulb went off. And it's the same illustration. When you are plugged into God, when you're abiding with God, the power source is there to produce fruit. But when you're not abiding with God, you are never going to produce fruit. It just won't happen. And this point here, we're belaboring it a little bit tonight, and we get to the main point here, is to help us understand, and this is the same first point for any of these characteristics, we are dependent upon God. You cannot do without God. So when we look at it, when the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, maybe you don't struggle with the love, but you just struggle with the joy. How can you live a joyful life? You got to be connected to God. You got to abide in God, because it's not you doing it. You can't walk in love in your own flesh. You can't walk in joy in your own. You might be able to muster it up for a little while. You might be able to do something that looks like that. But what God desires from us, and what God's description of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, what God says we need to do, we can't do it on our own. We need God's help, and we need the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in our life. It's like we are God's, working in God's Spirit here in flesh. Our life should be the flesh, and God should be producing himself in us and through us. It's not us, but it's Christ that liveth in us and through us. It's the Spirit of God that wants to live its life through us. We should be that to this world, a light that shines, the reflection of Jesus Christ. But you're not going to do it unless you're plugged in. Are you abiding in Christ? Well, preacher, I'm really good to my family. I'm really good to my church members. Everybody would say that I love them. That's not the point. Your flesh is going to fail. Are you abiding in Christ? Because when we look at this forgiving one another, when we look at this idea of being long-suffering, all these different things, it's not going to happen. It can't happen. Because in your flesh, you can't produce it. But the thing that we used to think was impossible can happen in our life when we abide in Christ. I read these descriptions and I see what it says. When it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are things I want to be. And it's inside of me because the Holy Spirit of God resides inside of me. There's a strong contrast between the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and that the products of the flesh, they're plural, they're deeds of the flesh, whereas the product of the Spirit is singular, the fruit of the Spirit. The deeds of the flesh are varied and sullied, but the fruit of the Spirit, although it's multifaceted, is a singular result of the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. He's the one that produces it. You say, I can't figure out how I'm going to love someone this way. I just can't get over my anger. I just can't get over this. I can't get over that. You got to abide in God and let him do the work. I can't have victory. If you abide in God, it's not you having the victory. It's him having the victory for you. Amen. We are going from a place of victory. He's already won it. We've already been saved. We're already on the way to heaven. We should not be going back from a place of defeat. We have a place of victory that we're coming from. We already won the victory. He won the victory for us. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. And when we look at these passages of Scripture and when we deal with the sins of the flesh that are manifesting our lives, we are catering to them and we are falling to them because the Holy Spirit of God wants to produce something else in our life. And we are missing it. So let's look here tonight at the description of love. The description of love. So if we're going to walking in love is the title of the message, we're going to need to know what love is. Say, Pastor, I know what love is. Well, let's look what the Bible says is love. The description of love. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let's take our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the famous passages of Scriptures when it refers to love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things have fervent charity, which is another word for love found in certain spots in the Bible, among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. See, young or old, rich or poor, believer, unbeliever, it doesn't really matter. All people cry out for one thing. They all cry out, they want to be loved. Madeline Murray O'Hara, the founder of the American Atheist, before she vanished away in 1995, when her diaries were found, she often cried out, "Somebody, somewhere, please love me." Doesn't matter what the world, what they might be showing on the outside, we all have this desire that we want to be loved. The Bible says God is love, and it says God's word is everlasting. God's love is everlasting. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." This word that it's referring to in the walking in love is talking about agape love. This is a strong sacrificial love. It is a deliberate effort made to the help with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek the worst for you. You say, "How can I do that?" The point is, you can't do that. It's not natural. In your flesh, it is impossible for you to do. But with the Spirit of God, it can be done. We're going to look at that in a little while. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And remember, emotional love wears off. I heard a cute little story. A husband was coming out of a surgery, and he was affected by the anesthesia. After a series of tests in the hospital, he was finally waking up. His wife was sitting at his bedside, and when his eyes fluttered open, he muttered, "You are beautiful." Flattered, the wife continued to sit there. Later, he woke up again and said, "You're cute." And the lady said, "What happened to beautiful?" He said, "The drugs are wearing off." See, love can fade away. Emotional love can wear off. But walking in love in the Spirit of God, that's something that doesn't wear off. You want to know why? Because it's not you that's producing it in your life. This is key. This is something that's fundamental. We build and we look at these things that we should be living these lives. You say, "Pastor, it's impossible for me to love so many people like myself. It's hard for me to do it for my wife," you may say, like the Bible says. "How can I do it for a neighbor who plays his music too loud or takes part of my yard up?" It's not us, of what the Holy Spirit of God can do in us. Let's look what biblical love is talking about here. Biblical love, it talks about the, let's just go ahead and read the first three verses and just shows you that the importance of love. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." He says, if you're going to do all these works and you're not going to do it with love, you're just going to be an annoying noise that people try to get rid of. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods," now listen, they're willing to do everything here, "bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing." The Bible says love is it's inseparable from God and what God's plan is for us. Let's look how the helpfulness of biblical love. It says, "Charity suffereth long. It's saying love is patient. He gives the illustration that Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. It's talking about how love practice being patient. Suffereth long means having patience with people. And, you know, that's hard to do sometimes. You know, sometimes when you're sitting there and you're waiting, it's being patient with somebody is very, very tough. Especially when they should be doing something that they're maybe getting paid to do or something that they've struggled with for a long time. But the Bible says that we can produce the fruit, the Spirit can produce the fruit of love in us, that we can be patient. You ever had some impatience for your children? I've showed you at this time over and over and over, maybe a wife with her husband, "Why can't you put your socks in the hamper? I mean, it's right there. You have to throw them somewhere." You know, it's just different things. That why can't we be patient? And that's what the Bible says, true love. How can you do this? I mean, how can, when the Bible says, "Recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men," how can we do this? How can Stephen, as he is being stoned by people, say, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How can he do this? He can't do it in his own, but the Spirit of God that lives inside him can produce that love and can produce that type of patience with individuals if we allow him to. President Lincoln had an early political rival by the name of Edwin Stanton. Stanton called Lincoln the original gorilla. When Lincoln was elected president, he chose Stanton to be his Secretary of War. Someone asked Lincoln why he chose Stanton. He replies, because he was the best man for the job. At Lincoln's funeral, Stanton said, "Here lies the greatest leader the world has ever known." See, Lincoln's non-retaliatory patience, his spirit had won out and changed the heart of this man. Not only is love patience, love is kind too. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Just as patience will take anything from and will take anything or will endure anything from others, kindness will give anything to others. To be kind means to be useful, serving, and gracious. Finally, the Bible says in 1 Peter, finally, be of all one mind, having compassion one another, loving as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. See, the aspect of love should characterize in all a relationship. We should be kind to our church, to believers, non-believers, to our family, to those that we work with. We should be able to be a kind individual. Say, how can I be kind to someone who abuses me, who misuses me? You can't, but the Holy Spirit of God can produce this in your life. You know, sometimes I give the compliment when I'm talking to someone and show me some kindness. I'll say to them, thank you for being so kind. And some people think that that's not very flattering words. You can use better terminology or better adjectives to show your appreciation. But I think just being kind is something that is missing in so many day and times that we live in. So many people are in road rage and cutting others off. And I think it's still wonderful when someone holds the door for someone else and shows kindness to somebody else. And we just don't see that today when people we don't know. But the Bible says that with the fruit of the Spirit, we can produce that. Let's continue on. Let's see the humility of biblical love. The humility of biblical love. It continues on and says, charity envieth not. Love is not anxious against someone else. We will always face the temptation of being jealous or envious when someone else gets something a little bit better than what we have. And if we act in the spirit of love, we will be glad for the individual who is successful. We will not resent them. Instead, we will be thankful that God was able to bless them. Envy is just not a moderate sin. Jealousy is not something, I know there's a jealous word and there's a part that says that God is jealous, but that's not the part I'm talking about here. It's by looking down on what someone else has had and being greedy of what they have. Think about what happened to Cain. The envy that happened there caused him to destroy his brother. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? You know, here it is, the Bible saying, look, if you have love and you let the Spirit of God produce love in your life, it will not be one that's envious. The opposite of envy, you see, is in the life of Jonathan, in the life of David. Who can produce that in Jonathan's life? Jonathan, to be the next king, sees David, loves David, wants to be David's friend. That friendship, who can do that? You can't do it on your own. The Spirit of God produces that. Also, love does not brag. Look what it says. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. You go up to verse number 4. It says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love does not talk conceitedly. It does not parade its own accomplishment. Bragging is trying to make other people jealous. Bragging is trying to make someone else look at you and say, hey, that's a great guy. Don't you wish you could be like him? No, that's not what love is. Love is not arrogant. It's not puffed up, as the Bible is saying here. It is something that love and arrogance is two different things. See, arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. Arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. Missionary William Carey, he was a missionary to India. He could have done anything he wanted. He knew 23 different languages and dialects. He translated many of the Bible into these foreign languages. When he was in England at a dinner, someone said, I heard that one time you were a shoemaker. And Carey said, no, I was never a shoemaker. I was a shoe repairer. I wasn't good enough to be a shoemaker. You know, he was humble. And we got to understand, he said, Pastor, I just don't know how I can do this. I just don't see how I can be a person that loves that way. Everything in me shouts to brag. Everything in me shouts to lift myself up. Everything that's in me tells me not to be kind to someone. Everything that's in me tells me not to be patient, that people should be better. You know, that's right. Everything that is in you, that's in your flesh, like we look at Romans 7:14, will tell you all those things. But the Spirit of God, as you abide in Christ, can allow these things to come out in your life. We need to go quickly. The holiness of biblical love. Look what it says. Love does not behave itself unseemly, meaning it does not behave itself uncomely or rudely. The Corinthians were experts at this. Remember how about the Lord's Supper, how they used to eat tons of food and get drunk while other people were sitting there and didn't have any food. Love is always gracious. Love does not behave itself ungraciously. Love does not seek its own. Love is not easily provoked. You know, you look at these things here. It says, seek if not our own, is not easily provoked, think if no evil. Doesn't harbor evil. I love that phrase. Either you are a scorekeeper or a grace giver. In your life, are you keeping score of what someone's done wrong to you? Or are you just giving grace? They don't deserve it. That's what the love that the Spirit of God can produce in your life. No, they don't. But we don't deserve the love that God's given us or the grace that God's given us. And what he wants to do is through his Spirit in us is to produce the fruits of the Spirit. So third thing is the demonstration of love. First, we saw the dependence on the Spirit of God for love. Secondly, we saw a description of love. Thirdly, it's a demonstration of love. Christians should be God's love with skin on. Christians should be God's love with skin on. That's what we have. The Holy Spirit of God living in us. He can demonstrate the love of God in our life. Say, Pastor, it's impossible. In your flesh, it is impossible. But God's Spirit can produce it. Thankful for that. Think about how God demonstrated his love for us. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like the way that this author put it. So placed the talking about God's love a little bit, Christ when he was here. So listen as I read. He displayed this great truth about God, talking about Jesus. God is love. He displayed it with every breath he breathed. He demonstrated love in action, and particularly memorable, undiluted, down-to-earth ways. There was never a road too rough, never a way too long, never an appeal too faint, never a case too hard, never a sob too late, and never a day too long for his love. Now it was the Pharisee coming to him in the dead of night. Then it was the wicked woman at a wayside well at high noon. Now it's a dead little girl, then a demon-possessed little boy. Now it was a loathsome leopard. Then the woman with the issue of blood. Now it was Nathanael under a fig tree. Then it was Zacchaeus up a sycamore tree. Now it was at the wedding where they ran out of wine. Then it was the funeral and a woman who had been robbed by her only son. Now it was the publican. Next it was a peer of realm. Now it was a hungry multitude. Then some frightened disciples in the grip of a howling gate. Always love found a way to dry the tears and calm the fears. Love. The word breathed through his teachings. He summarized all 613 commandments of the Mosaic Law in the one word, love. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He also said to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He demanded even more when he says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. You say it's impossible, but not for him. He loved the poor. He loved lost Herod. He loved self-seeking Annas. He loved Caiaphas. He loved the weak and wavering Pilate. He loved him enough to die for them. He loved Peter even as he cursed and swore it and denied him. He loved Judas even as he planted a traitor's kiss on his cheek. He loved the man who punched him in his face. He loved the man who crowned him with thorns. He loved the man who smote him on the head with the reed. And he plowed his back with a scourge. He loved the soldier who dropped the heavy cross upon his lacerated back and commanded him to get going. He loved the man who nailed him to the cross and felt the love that beat in his heart. You say, how in the world could a man love like that? I can't do that. That was Christ that did that. But see, the Spirit of God resides in you. Think about some men that had demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit of love. Think about Carey in India, Judson in Burma, Hudson Taylor in China, Brainerd with the Indians, Patton among the cannibals, George Mueller among the orphans of England, Christian love not only has sought to save men's souls, but also has built hospitals, asylums, leper colonies, orphanage, and homes for the aged. Love sent William Booth to the drunks of London slums. Love sent William Wilberforce to strike the blow that freed the slaves in Britain. Love sent Lord Shaftesbury to the factories and mines, and then to the House of Lords to demand the end of child abuse and harsh labor laws. When all else fails, love never fails. Christianity is Christ, Christ is God, and God is love. Christianity is love in action, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, it can be produced in us, but we're dependent upon God for this. So, we see God's love demonstrated in us. How can we demonstrate our love to others? We'll move quickly. There's three simple thoughts. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the litmus tests here is reading 1 Corinthians 13 and saying, you know what? Does my love suffer long? Am I really kind? Am I a person who does not envy? Am I a person who does not lift myself up? Am I not puffed? Reading that, yeah, something good. Here's three guest characteristics. I think that one of the ways you can demonstrate love is giving your time. Giving your time. You know, so many times in people's lives, you just got to be able to give. Some people say, do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. You know, many people will give. Many people will do other things. But giving of their time is something that really demonstrates love. There was a story about telling about one ingenious teenage brother. Every night, his little sister would beg him to read a bedtime story. And he would read this bedtime story every night. And so one night he became ingenious. He went to his room. He recorded all the bedtime stories on a cassette player. And he brought this to his little sister and says, here, you can listen to your stories anytime you want. And he says, isn't that great? She looked at the machine for a moment and then replied, no, it doesn't have a lap. You know, she wanted to sit in her brother's lap. That was what was important to her. It wasn't the stories. It was the time. Now, do we really give time? Not only does we demonstrate love through time, but also through communication. The Bible says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You can communicate love with your actions, but also with your speech. But also, not only demonstrating it through time and communication, but through forgiveness. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now we read certain portions of the Bible and say, God must have made a mistake. Either that or he's a little confused, because when he made us, he didn't make us love this way. You know, when he tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, when he tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church, when he tells us to love our enemies, he messed up. But that's not the truth. In our flesh, it's impossible for us to do. But in our spirit, we abide in him. We actually can produce that fruit. It's already in you if you're a Christian. We need to go from that victory and say, Lord, I'm going to have to abide in you, because that's the connection. The light's not going to be there unless you're plugged in. The fruit's not going to be producing unless you're abiding in the vine. Tonight, how many of us have really thought loving like that is impossible and nobody can do that? At times in my life, I felt that way. But this is a revolutionary truth that if we remind ourselves, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which the flesh manifests adultery, fornication, all that long list. But if I abide in the Spirit, I can produce fruit. Fruit that will remain. The Bible even puts it this way, much fruit. I know fruit is two different things. Number one, it is bringing people to Christ. But I think even more importantly, it's producing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Because once you produce that, you're going to bring people to Christ. Once you're abiding in Christ, you're going to bring people to Christ. If we look at that list and we ask ourselves, am I really loving this way? I think most of us would say, Pastor, I fail a little bit at this. I'm falling short. See, it's not me condemning you. It's me saying, you know what? We have a problem. It's a flesh problem. So our problem isn't, I got to love my neighbor even though I don't like him. I got to grin and bear and I got to go bake him some cookies. It's not that at all. It's I need to abide with God more. I need to get in my Bible some more. I need to pray a little bit more. I need to see and clean up the things in my life that is wrong, because the only way I can produce that love is not because of what I can do. It's not some 10-step program of you try this week for this person, this week for this person, this. No, it's abiding in Christ. Now, those are good things, and I'm not condemning any of those step processes to try to get us to a certain point, but it's never going to produce the fruit unless you connect it with God. Are you abiding in Christ tonight? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with that.